Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show. On your exclusive home for Thunderbird hockey, 1090 The Fan.
A little downtime for the T-Birds as they recharge the batteries and get ready for a busy month of February. 12 games in 24 days beginning this weekend. The T-Birds have two new assistant coaches this season. We'll talk to someone with intimate knowledge of one of them. That and the head coach all coming up next on 1090 The Fan.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show.
Niall snaps the shot, and he will score!
A weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL.
T-Birds knock it down, rebound, shot glove, save made by Tozan.
The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show. With Tom Boyning, Spike O'Neill, and head coach Matt Odette.
Well, the T-Birds finished January action this past weekend. They sat in third place in the U.S. division at the time they finished that final game. Without playing a game, though, since then, they were going to open up February in fourth place. That's because that's how tight things are in the U.S. division. The Tri-City Americans, who won last night, able to leapfrog Seattle in the standings by 1 point. Now, the T-Birds will look to get back into third with a home game Saturday night when they take on the Victoria Royals. That's a 7:05 game time. Here at the Accesso Showwear Center, it's the same Victoria team that didn't do Seattle any favors midweek by losing to the Americans over in Kennewick. This will be the last meeting of the season between the T-Birds and the Royals, and it is also the second Boy Scout Girl Scout night of the year. You can go to the website at SeattleThunderbirds.com for more details on how to get your scout troop out to the game for a reasonable price. Let's bring in the head coach now, Matt Odette, joining us. And Matt, the last time you went head-to-head with the Victoria Royals, it was a pair of games right after Thanksgiving over on the island. And in those two games, you outshot them both nights by a wide disparity. And the total shots in those two games, 83-41 in your favor. So nearly a 2-1 margin, actually a little bit better than that. Yet you suffered a couple of close, late one-goal losses. First, I got to ask you this. Have you figured out since those two infamous games up there what goaltender interference is?
No, I have definitely not found that out. We've seen it called every which way possible, for Strand to get a 5-minute charging major in a game misconduct, and then for what happened to Hughes there the other night or a couple weeks back, for that to be no call, everything in between, I have no idea. So your guess is as good as mine.
That said, now that those games up there in Victoria were kind of a, you might say, a microcosm up to that point of your season, late November. A number of late goal games where you lost. Since then, though, your team has been much better. You go back to the games you've played since then, I think 26 games. The record is 15-7-3-1. That's over a two-month period. Now, the simplest difference, obviously, is the ability to put the pucks in the net. Up and through those two games and those two losses to Victoria, the team was, I think, averaging just slightly over 3 goals per game. Since then, in the games, the 26 games you played, you're averaging almost 4.5. Was it as simple as things just all of a sudden starting to go in? I mean, shots that weren't going in before were starting to find the back of the net, or was there any change, or were there multiple changes that you made significantly to the team in the way they played since to get those goals to go in and get that goals for average up?
I think it's a few different things. I think we are getting some bounces. That's probably one reason. We are emphasizing shooting more. I think, sometimes we want to make that extra play. We've scored some goals on 2-on-1s, which we would probably look to pass earlier in the season, and it wouldn't connect. But and then there's been some line tweaks, I think, that have helped us. You know, I think Andrusiak being paired up with Volkan and Wedman, triggered a spark there. And, you know, the emergence of the Philp line with Hamiluk and Huo. I think some we've connected on a couple of our line matches, and I think we're starting to get some bounces.
Now, this past weekend was a busy one. You had three games in 3 nights. It also came off the heels of a stretch where you played 5-7. So you played a lot of hockey here the last few weeks, and there's some pros and cons to that. Now, I would guess if you're winning, the habit of then going out there and playing a game almost every other night, you kind of get into a rhythm and you get into the good habits, and you don't mind that as much. Now, if you're not winning and you kind of get into a tailspin through a stretch like that, is not much time off then to kind of correct some of those habits in practice. You did go 7-4-1 in that 12-game stretch, so that's not bad. That's pretty good, especially since you know, a lot of those games were pretty close one-goal games, and you won a majority or more than you lost in that sense. So you did well in that stretch, but it can be dicey when you're playing that many games in a short, compact amount of time if things don't go your way.
Yeah, it depends how you look at it. I mean, I think both ways have their pros and cons. Obviously, if you're winning and playing well, getting right back out there and keeping that flow going is a plus. But I think when you're losing, and you know, sometimes if you have to wait a whole week to kind of get that, you know, that next opportunity to make it right, can be tough too. So it does have its pros and cons. Yeah, obviously, a few days to correct some things is helpful, but at the same time, you got all those days to dwell on a loss. So there's pros and cons, and you know, I thought we played some decent hockey over the weekend. You know, in some ways, ran out of gas on Sunday, but it's nice to kind of recharge the batteries, work on some things throughout the week, and get ready for a game Saturday.
I would think, too, that it would help because you have this still core group of players on this team. As much as you do have a lot of young players, you still have a core group of veterans who, for the most part, a number of them have gone through long seasons each of the last 2 years deep into the playoffs where you're playing a lot of hockey in a short amount of time. They kind of got used to that. So playing these stretches like we just talked about here in the month of January and like you're going to do in the month of February and really going to the rest of the season with the 22 games you have left on the schedule, they've got into that habit of playing a lot of games in a short span.
Yeah, you know, we rely on that experience. Those guys have been through it. I think probably the only guy that's been through it with the same amount of ice time would be Audenbright. The rest of the guys are seeing a significant increase in their ice time than last year and the year before, and that's probably a bit of an adjustment for them. You know, staying fresh and taking care of themselves. You know, so they're rested for each and every night, but. You know, that experience is beneficial for us. You know, being in busy schedules and obviously big games coming down the stretch here.
If you look at the overall record, the T-Birds after this month of January and all the games you've played, and you're sitting, I think, what is it now, 8 games above 500, the record actually at 26-18-4-2. The goals for, goals against are basically the difference in the win column. I think about 8 more goals you've scored for rather than given up, and that means you played a lot of close games, and you're in the plus in the win column because you're winning more of those close games than you're losing. And again, you've got guys on the roster who, you know, when the playoffs come, you get a lot of close games like that. We had a little trouble with that in the early part of the season, so now you've got these younger players who are also now learning how to play in those close games.
Yeah, it's important. You know, if you look at our season, it's been, yeah, a tale of not winning the close games and finding ways to lose those games, and then figuring out how to win those games. You know, we've done it obviously both ways. You know, it's hard to not think of, you know, oh, if we had got those wins that slipped away, we'd be at 32 wins or whatever the case may be. It's hard not to think that way, but I feel like that adversity, that you know, that journey that we went on, the things we went through earlier on the season, helped us, you know, grow mentally and learn how to win those tight games. And you know, I don't think if we went through that adversity, we'd be where we are right now.
You mentioned earlier about the 3 games and 3 nights that we played this past weekend, and how that third game, maybe it caught up with you. And every team has on their schedule at some point a 3-3. I know the T-Birds have another one coming up in mid-February. Some have more than others. I mean, I think Seattle, when they were still up at Key Arena, because of scheduling issues, especially when they're still a Sonics team, they had to take the dates they could get now that we're down here in Kent at the Accesso Show. Whereas Center, the T-Birds are the prime tenant. They can get those prime dates. They don't have to worry about waiting to kind of pick days. So that certainly, having this home ice is a big draw in the scheduling portion of the season for Seattle, how they put it together. What is probably frustrating about that 3-3, though, that you had this weekend, was that the team you're playing on the third night is not playing a third game in 3. There's always going to be a home team, and they're going to have probably a slight advantage. But in this instance, Tri-City not only didn't play a third game in 3 nights, it was their second game, and both were at home. it does give them an advantage. And some might say, well, you're just making excuses. It's a fact that, you know, that third period rolled around. You could see that the legs were really tired for a lot of guys.
Yeah. You know, and you go through that throughout the season. Some nights you have the advantage, some nights you don't. You know, I think the 3-3s are really the times where you can get a distinct disadvantage. You know, I think, you know, it would be fair for two teams that aren't, or if there's a game with a team playing a 3-3, I think both teams should be playing a 3-3. I mean, you know, that is a distinct disadvantage. But I think it all works out for the most part in the wash. I think, you know, some nights we have the advantage that way. You know, this particular weekend we didn't. But, you know, it's part of the WHL schedule. You just kind of make the best of it. And, you know, when you do have the advantage, take advantage of it.
And I think you said in some of your post-game comments, too, that part of the reason for that being tired in that third period, yeah, part of it was that 3-3 schedule, but it was also the fact that the first and then second period against Tri-City didn't do a good enough job getting pucks deep, so you're spending too much time in the D zone, and that exerts a lot of energy to battle the opposing team to keep them from scoring.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're playing that third game in three nights, you have to play, you know, close to a perfect game as far as managing your energy and you know, being efficient throughout the game. If you're doing things cleanly, you know, like you said, moving the puck up and down the ice, and you know, being able to spend more time in their end, and you know, getting them hemmed in their zone where they can't change, you know, it gives you a better chance to win, and that's definitely magnified in the third game in three nights.
It's the only axiom that you hear sometimes. You say you can't win a game in a first period, but you can lose it. And Seattle actually didn't give up any goals, either the first or second period, had that 1-0 lead going into the third, but not being able to play that 200-foot game in the first and second period probably cost you in the third the win, or at least a point.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, with our style of play, you know, we talk about it all the time of bleeding teams out over the course of a game, and, you know, every shift that we can hem a team in the offensive zone, you know, we consider that another cut. You know, by the end of the game, you know, the opposition is worn down and tired and have had enough of our, you know, aggressive style play, you know, and over the course of the game. So that was a little bit of a, you know, case of our own medicine coming back to us on Sunday there. But I think if we were on an even playing field as far as rest, you know, I think we would have won that game.
Do you expect going forward with the schedule being what it is against who you're going to be playing, familiar opponents the rest of the way, that you see a lot? We had these three games in three nights, and essentially all three were tight, close to the vest, one-goal games. You anticipate that over the course of the 22 between now and the end of the regular season?
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously our division is very competitive. It's very tough. You know, some of these teams are starting to get healthy now and being at full strength, so you know, we're dealing with a couple injuries ourselves. So, I mean, we approach it one game at a time. You know, we expect these to be tough, hard-fought games. I mean, that's going to be obvious there. But, yeah, it's one game at a time. It's the old cliche, but we can't look too far ahead. It's one game at a time. You know, we put our best lineup on the ice that we can each and every night and try to get points. So that's the way we're approaching it.
Reminder, the T-Birds home Saturday night against the Victoria Royals, 7:05 here at the Accesso Show. Whereas Synergy, we got a rare Friday night off here at the second half of the season. Also home next Tuesday, it's a Director's Mortgage 2 for Tuesday against Tri-City. And ticket information, go online at SeattleThunderbirds.com. We'll come back. The second half of our weekly coaches show is still to come. This is Thunderbirds Hockey on 1090 The Fan.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 The Fan.
And welcome back to this week's edition of the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show for the first week of February. Head coach Matt Audette will rejoin us later on in the program. A reminder, the T-Birds are off Friday night, a rare Friday off, but they're in action Saturday at home. They'll take on the Victoria Royals at the Accesso Showwear Center. Game time 7:05. Also home next Tuesday, Director's Mortgage 2 for Tuesday against the Tri-City Americans. It is the coach's show. Sometimes that's possessive. It belongs to the head coach, but sometimes it's plural. We talk to more than one coach. And in this case, this week, it's the plural portion of that. We're going to talk to another head coach. Roy Sommer is joining us from San Jose, where he is the head coach of the San Jose Sharks AHL affiliate, the San Jose Barracuda. He's also, of course, the father of Kasten Sommer, the T-Bird's current assistant coach. He is also coaching former T-Bird Alexander True there with the Barracuda, and we welcome him to the program. Roy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, before we get started, let's talk about one of your players who Seattle fans know so well. He scored the biggest goal in Seattle Thunderbirds history last spring when he scored an overtime of Game 6 of the Western Hockey League Championship to bring this franchise its first ever Western Hockey League title. That is Alexander True, signed in the offseason as a free agent with the Barracuda. Tell us a little bit about how he is playing here in his first year of pro hockey.
I'll tell you what, he's right where we think he should be. You know, he's a big body, skates. You know, I think it took a little while for him to get used to, I think, just the pace and the speed of the American League. But he's fit in well for us. You know, we use him on the penalty kill, and he's gotten a lot better on faceoffs. And, you know, he's got a really good stick as far as, you know, breaking plays up. And he's got a long body that's you know, kind of beneficial for penalty killing. And, you know, he's just been a real big surprise for us. You know, and when we first saw him in camp, you know, I was kind of intrigued just by the way he skates and he handled himself in traffic with the puck. And so far everything he's done in camp has come out in the regular season.
You know, you have been with the Sharks and their AHL affiliate for a long time. You're the winningest coach in American Hockey League history. You actually were in the day also back in 96-97 season, the 97-98 season. You were an assistant coach with the Sharks, and that was about the time a young guy, another former T-Bird, Patrick Marleau, made his NHL debut. What do you remember about Patrick Marleau as a young player?
As a young player, when I picked him up at the airport because he was late, and I had to bring him in to get his testing done for training camp. And after he goes, "Hey, can you stop and so I can get a water?" And I said, "Yeah." And I remember him coming back to the car and going like, "Man, a bottle of water for a buck." And here's a guy that's never made less than $1 million, I think, in his whole career. And he was complaining about paying $1 for a bottle of water. But, no, just you could tell he had it from day one in camp. Just, you know, great skater, you know, darted in and out of holes and, you know, could handle himself at, NHL training camp. You know, he looked like a young veteran. And, you know, look what he's done over his career, you know, Hockey Hall of Famer.
You know, we should mention that you have other ties to the Western Hockey League. And when it was in its first incarnation, known as the WCHL, you played a little bit of hockey in that in this league for the Edmonton Oil Kings and the Calgary Centennials. What do you remember about the league back in the mid to late 70s?
Well, when I left California when I was 16, and my first year I played in Spruce Grove in the Tier 2 team for the Edmonton Oil Kings. And that year we ended up winning the Centennial Cup. And off of that team, that Tier 2 team, I think there was 10 players that ended up playing in the NHL and playing in the NHL off of that team. And the next year I went back to the Oil Kings camp and I ended up getting traded to the Calgary Centennials. And what I remembered about the Western League was that trip we had to take out west, which was hell. We had to go, you started in, I think, Kamloops, and then you went to Victoria with Archie Henderson and all those guys. And I think Edmonton had moved down to, I think it was Portland, the Winterhawks. And you know, they had Playfair and all those guys there. And then you went into New Westminster and they had Barry Beck and that crew there. And you played each team twice. And if you had anyone left on the bus that was healthy after that trip, it was considered a pretty good trip. But that's kind of what I remember about the Western League. It was that was the hardest trip to make, was that when we had to go out west and play all those teams because they were just mean and nasty and had really good home records.
It certainly would have helped if Seattle had been in the league. They were 1 year after you last played for Calgary. They came in as the breakers, so you just missed them. But you did, it looks like you coached for a season in the Western Hockey League with Prince Albert back in the late 80s as well, getting some of your first taste of coaching.
I spent a year as an assistant coach in the International League under a guy by the name of Rick Lee. And then the next year, that everything kind of fell apart there, and I sent resumes all over the place, and a guy by the name of Peter Anhold called me from Prince Albert and asked me to come up and be his assistant, and I took the job, and probably was the best move I ever made. You know, it got me, you know, got my feet wet in the coaching business, and, you know, got a lot of contacts out of that. You know, by coaching in the Western League, it's the same as a player. You go there to be a professional coach, and you go there as a player to play in the NHL sometimes. So it kind of works the same way for coaches as it did for me. And like I said, I don't think I'd be where I am today without spending a year in that league.
It's amazing how small the hockey world really kind of is, because you mentioned obviously Peter Anhold, who's a former coach of the Seattle Thunderbirds and is coaching in this league again as a GM and coach, now just the GM in Lethbridge, but was scouting for Seattle just a couple of years ago. You mentioned playing in Spruce Grove. The T-Birds' new owners now own that team in Spruce Grove. And, of course, the biggest connection you have is that your son, Kasten, is now an assistant coach here with the Seattle Thunderbirds. Did he talk to you about getting into the coaching game, and what advice did you give him, or what was the most significant piece of advice you gave him before he took this job here?
I don't know, man. Like, he's a smart kid. I don't know why he went into coaching. But no, you know what? It's kind of funny because he's always kind of had a knack for it. I know when he was playing in Holy Cross, and you know, even before that, when he was playing, you know, high school hockey and all that, all the head coaches would always go up to him and ask him, you know, what do we do here on the power play? What do you think we should do here on the forecheck? And, you know, he was just a young kid, and he kind of just had, you know, he's got an eye. You know, he would watch our games, and I'd talk to him after, you know, about what he saw or what he thought that we could do better. And you know, he was pretty spot on when he pointed, you know, either deficiencies or stuff he really liked, and, you know, players he liked. And, you know, as crazy as this sounds, when we had our development camp here in the summer, he said, you know, there's a kid that's, and he didn't have the job with Seattle yet. And he goes, there's a kid that played in Seattle, and I watched him in the Memorial Cup, that big true kid, and he goes, you should really watch him close. And, you know, it's just kind of subconsciously, all of a sudden he was in camp and I started watching him, and I was going, you know what, I really like this guy. I was the one that I really pushed to try to get him signed, and a lot of that had to do with Cass just saying, hey, like, this kid could play. But no, you know what, he's just got a good eye for it. He loves the game. You know, he went into a great situation there, and coaching with Matty up there, and, you know, was kind of the guy that is my assistant here by the name of Ryan Mougenel, had Matt Odette in the East Coast League. He played for him, and he was the one that kind of told him, he goes, hey, you should take a look at Roy's kid. I think he'd be good at and give you a hand up there in Seattle. And that's kind of how the ball got going. And but you know, he got into a great situation. It's a great league. to get your feet wet in, and they're having a pretty good year, supposedly, with a team that's not, you know, supposed to do much.
Well, it's unfortunate we don't have more time because I think we could talk all day. You got some terrific stories, but it looks like Cass is a chip off the old block. I hope you don't mind me saying that. I know you'll defer to his expertise, and his career is starting. Yours is going strong, and as we said, the winningest coach in the American Hockey League history. We wish you and the Barracuda continued success this season, and say hello to Alex for us as well.
Oh, I will, and say hi to Cass, and you guys keep going up there. It sounds like you're heading in the right direction, and they got the team playing pretty good up there. And, you know, you get in the playoffs, you never know what could happen.
Again, we appreciate you spending some time with us. I know you're busy with your team there, so we appreciate the minutes you've given us. Again, Roy Sommer, our guest, head coach of the Barracuda, the San Jose Barracuda, the American Hockey League, and, of course, the father of T-Bird assistant coach, Caston Sommer. Before we close out this week's edition of the Weekly Coaches Show, let's bring back in the head coach, Matt Odette. Matt, we started the program by talking about going up against Victoria. It's the final meeting between the two teams. Haven't beaten them yet this season, and the most recent games, those two games over in Victoria at the late end of November, had a little feistiness to them. The incident in the crease between their goaltender, Griffin Outhouse, and defenseman Austin Strand, and certainly you didn't like the outcome of that. It's been 2 months. Is there the possibility, though, of carryover from something like that? I don't know. He got kind of away with his blocker, a couple of shots, but I think your biggest complaint was with the officiating, not so much maybe with what the Royals were doing. But, you know, 2 months later, you still have a little bitterness. Is that going to carry over into the game?
Yeah, I don't know. They've got obviously a bunch of new players there. But, I mean, we do have a bad taste in our mouth with how that weekend went. You know, it was the start of a tough week for us. But we felt that we deserved to win those two games, quite frankly. We outplayed that team there. I think one of the games we had 30 chances on net, which is basically unheard of. And, you know, we didn't get the results. But, you know, they are a team that we have circled on our calendar. We want to kind of make that weekend right and kind of, you know, get somewhat of some revenge on these guys. Obviously, they're a good team, you know, and the best way to get any revenge on a team is to beat them. So that's our mindset. It's two big points up for grabs for us, and, you know, we'll use any motivation that we can get.
It reminds me of what I hear a lot from coaches and players, for that matter, is that here we are, like I say, 26 games after those two games up there, and we've won 15. We've put ourselves right into the mix in the battle for a high playoff seed, yet that loss still lingers. I mean, players and coaches always remember the losses more so than the wins.
Yeah, I know our guys have mentioned, you know, this game a couple times here in the last few weeks. They're kind of looking forward to it. You know, we felt that all three games against these guys were games that we could have won, even the home game that got away from us there. You know, we felt like we played well for a good portion of that game, and, you know, that was during the time where we weren't connecting on our chances there. But, you know, we'd like another crack at these guys. We feel that we can match up with these guys, and, you know, like I said, the bad taste in our mouth from that weekend in Victoria, we want to erase.
And again, the T-Birds game against Victoria coming Saturday. No Friday night action for Seattle. They're back home as well Tuesday against Tri-City, another U.S. division battle. Over the weekend, just completed the three games. You just won the one of them, but you were in all of them, and primarily because of goaltending. And I think you have to be pretty satisfied with the effort you got out of both Liam Hughes and Doran Luding in those three games. Do you feel that goaltending is now settled down for you?
Yeah, knock on wood, you know, the way things have been going with our goaltending. But, yeah, and we're happy with both those guys. They gave us great performances over the weekend. And that's all you can ask for from the goaltenders, to give the team a chance to win, and they both did that. Timely big saves at key moments of the game. And, you know, without that good goaltending, we wouldn't be that – you know, we won't have the chance to win. So we've been getting that from those guys, and, you know, we're going to need that to continue.
I know when the season starts, you probably set goals of what you want this team to accomplish, and as each month goes off the calendar, you can adjust those. Here we are. We've got 22 games left in the regular season. We've got a record of 26-18-4-2. If you just went 500, you'd get to 37 wins, which I think is a good season, but that's not what you're aiming for. But do you look at it? Have you adjusted things now as you go into these final 22 games? You have to look at where other teams are in the standings, seeing this is what we maybe need to get to this point in the standings if we want to finish here. You're starting to look at some of those things now, at least kind of in the periphery?
Yeah, it's hard not to look at it. You know, it seems like when we scoreboard watch, some of the teams that we, you know, are watching don't lose. That's pretty evident here, especially the teams in our division. You know, they're good teams, and they're not going to lose a lot of games. You know, Kamloops is playing well. They seem to not be losing right now. So, you know, we just have to worry about what we're doing. You know, we have to win our games and collect our points and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. We have to be playing our best hockey and try to post that number of wins and points and you know, let those other teams try to catch us.
There were a couple of games recently that were out of conference that you won beyond regulation in shootouts. And you didn't really worry about giving up that extra point to those teams from the East because it won't affect you in the standings. That dreaded three-point game, though, looms every night in the Western Conference, and that's what you've got left is games against the Western Conference. You'd prefer to win in regulation, but you know you just want to get points. You just don't want to have to give up a point to somebody you're battling with for a playoff spot. So it really becomes crucial to win games in regulation and hope other teams do the same.
Yeah. You know, we want to deny the other team's points, obviously, when we're playing them. And, you know, yeah, was it nice to get points? Of course, any points that we can scrape together are great, but we want to deny the opposition any points and then obviously get that extra point when we do get in those situations. But, yeah, like I said, when we scoreboard watch, it seems like, you know, Everett, spoke, tri-spoke, overtime, shootout, you know, it's frustrating, but, you know, like I said, we have to take care of our own business, focus on what we're doing, and, you know, things will take care of themselves.
Well, that will wrap up this week's edition of the Coaches Show with the head coach, Matt Audette. Again, a reminder, the T-Birds in action on Saturday night here at the Accesso Showwear Center against Victoria. Game time, 7:05. Next Tuesday at home as well at 7:05 as they will take on the Tri-City Americans. It is a director's mortgage 2 for Tuesday. Go online at seattlethunderbirds.com for ticket information for all remaining T-Birds home games this season. That wraps it up right here on 1090 The Fan.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning, Spike O'Neill, and head coach Matt Audette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 The Fan.